Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 with a message entitled, "Where Are You Going?" Mark 16, 15. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" You know, this is what the Bible, what we call today the Great Commission. That term is not found in the Bible, but neither is the word Trinity. But these are good terms for Bible truths, aren't they? So I'm going to keep with the Great Commission. Jesus had risen, and he's about to ascend to the Father, and he's saying to them, to his disciples, to go, go. And that is the word for my life that God has given me and my wife, Cheryl, she'll be here second service, but is to go. Because that's what Jesus said, go. He said to go. And that's a very active term, isn't it? So we live a very active life. And if you follow Christ, you're going to live an active life too, no matter where you're at in the world. And, you know, for someone like us, it might sound, oh, it's so exciting, you know, to go to travel internationally and to visit our missionaries and also what we have been doing for the last 3-4 years, we're also starting to travel domestically. We have a 32-foot RV. My wife and I just once a year get in there. We go out for maybe a month or two at a time. We've taken 4 major interstate trips, and we take our dog and our cat, and she likes the warmth of the sunbeams along the dashboard, and we get a lot of people winking at us and saying, you know, smiling that they like to see that cat up there. And we go and encourage domestic serving missionaries and pastors and their families, and we just follow them around and just spend wonderful time with them. We like to then let people know, you know, through social media and so forth, what God is doing through these servants of the Lord. So Go Ministries, I think currently we have 135 missionaries serving all around the world. So that does keep us busy. But I want to encourage you, it might sound like, oh, what a great life to have. But, you know, some of you have traveled a lot for your business and things like that. It's always good to come home, isn't it? It might sound like, you know, such a great thing, and it is. But God has called all of us to serve, even if we stay in our own backyard. Amen? So I want to encourage you with that. So instead of just profiling so much about Go Ministries and the mission itself, I'm a pastor, and like Pastor David, I want to serve the sheep. And I want to think about you and your life. And then we'll tie Go Ministries back in together and tell you more stories about it. But where are you going in life? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We're going to turn to a few key scriptures, and we'll come back to Mark 16, 15 and the Great Commission. I love Ephesians 2, 10. It's such a great, powerful verse. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the first thing there is we are his workmanship. It actually means we are God's poem. It's talking about how God has taken the craziness of our life, the things that didn't make sense, all the dissonance, all the darkness and all the confusion of our lives before Christ as sinners, as lost sinners, and how he's made something very special in our lives because Jesus walked in. Amen? He walked in our lives and he filled our lives with purpose. And that's a key word for this message as well, is purpose. And he's made rhythm and rhyme and melody out of our lives, whereas before we were just you know, shooting from the hip, weren't we? Just trying to make it up. And what's the old country song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. And we found ourselves in some really dark dead ends, right? And Jesus walked in. Someone told us about Jesus. Someone obeyed the go, you know. And someone said, I want to be a fisher of men. I want to share the gospel. And boy, you know how the Lord just saved me. And I was such a lost teenager from Southern California area. And just hitchhiking to the beach back in the hippie days, you know. Remember the late 60s, early 70s and all that. And the Jesus people would pick me up and tell me about Jesus and about a certain tent I could go to in Costa Mesa. And this was Pastor Chuck Smith and the Jesus Revolution that was happening. And I didn't know anything about it. And so probably like five different times of people that would reach out to me looking beyond how I looked with the long hair and all that kind of stuff, you know, and the rebellion. And just looked past all of that and just told me about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit got me. You know, the gospel works, brothers and sisters. It really works. Look at you. Look at me. Look at all of us together, you know. We're saved. We're born again. Isn't this a miracle? You know, that we're all together just worshiping the Lord here in Kalispell, Montana. Wow. So that's such a beautiful place. I heard it's a little bit cold in the wintertime. Is that true? At any rate, now our life makes sense. It has rhythm and rhyme and such beauty to it. And then it says we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So now that the Lord is in our life and he's working and he's just forgiven us of all of our sins and he's worked in our lives and showed us how to walk, how to be, how to live life, how to have that purpose. And it all takes time, doesn't it? It's just like children's growth, so is spiritual growth. Just like when we were growing up and went to grade school and we had to go through the different grades and math and all this kind of stuff, and we grew year by year. So, brothers and sisters, we're growing in the Lord. And he's so patient with us, isn't he? He's not finished with us yet. And we're learning some things, aren't we? We're not what we should be, but praise God, we're not what we used to be. And we're just going on in the Lord. And so we have the work of God within us, but he also wants to work through us. Notice how it says we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, I figure I used to work for the devil, okay? I didn't know it. But I was employed, you know, by him. I also got a paycheck, too, from the devil, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so, you know, I just figure, you know, I just want to use my life. I want to use my personality. I want to use who I am. I didn't change my personality. I think the Lord just, he takes you who you are, and he loves you. He made you. We're all a little bit eccentric and quirky and stuff, but you know what? The Lord loves you just the way you are, and he wants to maximize your personality and sanctify that personality for him so you can just turn around and now work for God and work for the light and work for the kingdom, you know? Especially during election year, we know who really is in charge. Amen? It's the Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is in charge of our nation, of the world today. But God wants us to look around and see that there's other people out there besides us and our family and our life, and we're to be, you know, that to have that focus and to do the good works that the Lord has for us. And you might say, well, what is that purpose, Pastor Louis? And, you know, I can't tell you because we're all different, but we all have the same, we're based upon the same equation here, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Acts 1:8 says to start right where you're at. It says start in Jerusalem, then go out to Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world because of the power of Christ that will rest upon you. And this is what happened, you know, when I was saved and then baptized with the Holy Spirit. I just couldn't believe, because I was just a little bit, you know, like Stacy said, you know, looking for musicians, and we're kind of, you know, melancholy and artistic people like that, and it's like we're a little bit, we kind of look like we're outgoing, but inside we're a little bit kind of shy, and, you know, we're always thinking about stuff because we're artistic, you know. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I received this boldness that was beyond myself, you know, to come out of my shell that I was in, and to reach out and to have the love of Christ that compelled me to go, you know what, the Lord saved me, and now I'm under this commission of Christ to go into all the world, got to start where I'm at. So I started at school, you know, I was a teenager, and so forth, and my friends, and so forth, and so on. And it says here, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here's my encouragement. You don't have to, like, think through it too much. You know, anybody have a problem with analysis paralysis like I do? Anybody, you ever, like, roll into your own mind and just kind of, it's pretty dangerous in there, isn't it? You kind of need to roll back out, you know, and just, like, not analyze it too much, because that paralyzes us with fear, doesn't it? And so we just need to get over that and just say, you know, if God has figured all this out before I was born, then what am I worried about as far as how my life will unfold? So I know in this day and age of planning, we plan everything. There's an app for everything, and Target, and long range, and short term goals, and all that is good. I think we should live with that kind of planning. But God's got a plan. And if we just walk with Him, it's going to unfold, and it's going to be a really cool life in Him. Now, it will be, you know, it will have an aspect of trials and tribulations. We don't want to be so up in the clouds, you know, about the Christian life. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that all goes along with the Christian life, because that's how you grow. The Bible says tribulation breeds perseverance. Perseverance turns into character, and character turns into hope. So we're bringing all that in together, saying that God has a plan for you before you were even born. Isn't that cool? You know? So that means you can wake up in the morning, and this is what I like about the Christian life. This is what I like about our Lord Jesus Christ. Is I know He loves me and He has a purpose for my life. I was so lost before. You know, this is very important to me, you know, very important, because it's like coming from that background, I know you can relate to this too in your own way, is to go, you know what, my life makes sense now and I have purpose and I am on the go. I am on the go under the Lord's commission, and I don't know what that is. And I'll let God figure it out. I'll let Him open all the doors. I'll start with the little things that He shows me. And, oh, remember the first time God used you when you were a new believer? Oh, the first time God used me, I said something or did something. I was so excited. I'll sharpen the pencils for Jesus. I don't know what it, you know, I'll just do anything. And it's like, wow, I spoke to someone. I encouraged someone. I shared the gospel. I didn't even have John 3:16 memorized yet. And yet God used me, you know? I did something for my neighbor. I never did stuff like that. I was always internal and to myself. And now I'm reaching out. I'm smiling, waving at the guy four houses down. Hey, Elton. He's like, what? What's happened to that dude, you know? Walking my dog, stopping and talking to him, or whatever that is. It's like, wow, you know, this is really cool. I'm so excited. I think the two greatest things, you know, as far as the Christian faith, number one is to just know Jesus, amen, just to know Him. And then secondly is to serve Him. Oh, that he could have something for me to do. I want my life to be of value. I want my life to be of purpose. So I think that's the first thing I wanted to share with you. And secondly is that as you go along in that purpose, I think sometimes that purpose is going to be tested by a few things. And I've already mentioned number one is tribulation. And I think that what happens during that time, what happens to me personally is I get a little bit confused, I get a little bit lost, kind of like, Lord, you know, I know you love me, but why? And that's the biggest problem I've had about myself is asking why. I'm trying to not do that anymore. You know, stop the why and just think about the who. And that who loves me a lot. In fact, he died for my sins, and he rose again. We just sang about that, you know. We're lifting our hands, worshiping the Lord. Stop asking the why, Louie, and just trust the Lord, you know. You know, Christians go through stuff just as non-Christians, amen? And times like that, I know, are really, really hard. I think like Job, we become very philosophical. You ever get philosophical? You know, when you go through something, you go through the why, and then you ask your friends why, and you ask Pastor David afterward, after service, why, Pastor, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, nobody can answer that. In fact, Job asked the Lord why, and that whole long book, you know, that book goes on forever until finally God showed up in that tornado, you know, in that whirlwind, and then it was all of his questions were swallowed up in the sovereign grace of the Lord. And the same thing with, remember Doubting Thomas, the guy who had a question mark for a brain, okay? And it's like, turn it off, Thomas, but he couldn't. The guy was just really smart, and the Lord just loves people who are like, always have questions, and the Lord dealt so cool with him. Remember, he had a special appearance, and here I am, Thomas, feel my scars and all, and he dropped to his knees and just said, oh, Lord, you know, my God, and he was a full-on follower, you know, so the Lord loves those kinds of people too, but we become so philosophical, and we ask why, but as we just trust in the Lord, eventually it's going to, you know, play out. And so if you're in that place right now, I just want to encourage you that the Lord loves you so much, and, you know, it's all going to be working out for you. And, okay, and now let's talk about something else, too. To piggyback on that is now for some of us, like what you're thinking right now in your seat is you're asking, you're kind of going through this thing where, like, you know, I kind of contributed to a lot of this problem, this mess where I am. But I've got good news for you. God can unscramble eggs. Anybody like that one? Isn't that good? I heard that one time. I was like, I got to use that sometime. God can unscramble eggs. And, you know, God cleans up what we messed up. We're just his children, just like when you raised your kids or whatever. You didn't slap them around and yell at them and, you know, spilt milk. You just, oh, honey, aren't you so cute the way you throw your Cheerios around and spill your milk. Oh, let me pick it up for you, you know. And that's what God does for us too. You know, brothers and sisters, his grace incorporates everything, including our human failures. God's will includes our mistakes. Anybody like that one? You know, aren't you glad you came to church? At least for that one, you know. The grace of God is all over us with everything that we've done, everything that we haven't done, that we should have done. You know, there's all kinds of sins, right? And his grace just covers it all. And, you know, we come under his discipline, and it's always loving discipline. What does that scripture say? That God loves those whom he what? He disciplines. And so if God takes you to the woodshed, just know that it's just going to be, you know, grandma's paddle out there anyway. And you know, and then you're going to see his grace and his restoration in your life. And so right now, maybe you're trying to figure it out, like, you know, well, what's been done to me and what have I done to contribute? you know, only go there a little bit, but bring everything else under the cross and the grace of Jesus Christ for it. And then just back up a little bit and just serve the Lord from that point on. Amen? Just from that point on, just serve the Lord and say, I'm under his grace and I'm called to go. I'm called to go and to continue on into those good works that he has for me. So tribulation can kind of, put a little bump in the road as far as your go, what God has for you. I think sometimes it's just the ho-humness of life, and sometimes even boredom for the routine of your life. And I think that nowadays with Facebook and all this stuff, it's like everybody else's life kind of seems exciting, right? You look on Instagram, it's like, oh man, they're totally, zip lining down in Brazil or something, and it's like, oh man, and here I am just milking cows or something, and I'm just my life here on the farm or whatever, and it's like, that can be a real thing that I think the enemy can use against us, because our life in Christ also incorporates routine, ho-humness, and even boredom. because sometimes you might be wondering, am I in the right career? Should I change careers? That whole thing. I've got only so much life left, and so forth. Should I retire? Should I move? Should I snowbird? Well, don't go to Florida or anything like that. That's for sure. But there's all these things that just always go around. We're always thinking and churning something around in our minds, aren't we? We're so like a life entrepreneurial in our mind, And again, these things outside that we look at and always are connected to can create a discontentment. But see, people don't put their depression usually on Facebook. They put their highlights on Facebook. And it can make you jealous, like, I wish I had a marriage like that. I wish I had kids like that. I wish my kid would finally go to college and graduate. And here they are, showing graduation pictures, and they're taking a trip and to celebrate. And it's like, oh man, when's my family going to be healed and come together? So if just hang tight in that. The Lord's got a plan for you. He's going to get you through those tough times, and he's going to put you back on that right mental plane, so you can just get along in the things of the Lord. And let's talk about again just plain boredom. One time I as I was going on in my faith and now a young man and like college and career age and going on, I was like, okay, I'm getting close to graduating from Bible college now, and it's like, it was so funny because every year the new crop of girls would come in, and I'm sorry, it's just, we have to confess our sins. and we'd be like, okay, who's new? And we'd be looking at the new girls coming in, and, oh, I heard that girl's, from Arizona. And anyway, it was just, we'd like, well, this could be the one, there she is. Because sometimes we would call it bridal college, not Bible college, I mean, it's a good place to meet someone. And so anyway, things weren't happening. I was in my second semester of my senior year of Bible college and thinking about the future, and I was applying for YWAM and this, that, and the other. And I just told the Lord, I go, Lord, I'm really bored, I don't know if I would ever recommend that prayer, because right after I prayed that prayer, I met Cheryl, and things haven't been bored ever since, it's like, wow, what a life. So if you're bored, just tell the Lord you're bored, and he knows what kind of challenge that he will give you so that you can really feel like you're doing something for Christ. So hang on if you're in that stage right now where it's like, oh, I don't feel very fruitful, and I'm kind of in transition, and I don't know what the Lord has for me, and I see these wonderful opportunities, but I don't know which one. You know, I just believe that, like what Jesus said, that he will open up the doors and he will shut the doors. No harm in testing them. If you don't like it, if you get involved in children's ministry, it's like that might be your first and last time in that ministry. It's like, those kids drive me nuts, whatever. But for somebody else, it's going to be their thing. It's like, oh, I'm so glad. I want to do this forever. But maybe God has something else for you. And God will definitely show you because his word says it. He has created you for good works. Praise the Lord. All right, now we go back to Mark 16:15. I remember one time I heard Pastor Chuck say that there are two ways to witness. You can go out and witness, or you can witness as you go out. And that really struck a chord with me, because I thought you had to, like, witnessing was going out. Like, it had to be formal. I'm going to go out to, Newport Beach Pier, and we're going to pass out tracts and lead people to the Lord. And then I heard this other thing. It's like, wow, well, there's another way to witness is witness as you go out. And that's just your everyday life. And I think that's probably like 98% of it, don't you think? Because by the time you get involved in all these things and you maybe take a mission or a short-term mission or whatever, you come back, but you still have to go to work, you go to college, you resume your life, raise those kids, whatever it is. And most of our life is just witnessing as we are living our everyday life. You know, Paul Little had that old book, you know, How to Share Your Faith, and he would say it this way. Now, as far as an airplane is concerned, what's most important? What's more important, the right wing or the left wing? And you're like, duh, you know. It's equally so, right? You know, so you live your life, because some people say, oh, I'm a Christian, I just live my life. You know, I'm kind to people and so forth. It's like, that's good. Other people say, well, oh, witnessing is all about just articulating. Just always share the gospel, always have a tract in your back right pocket, you know, and a church bulletin, invite people to church. Hey, all that's good. But isn't that lopsided too? So how about a nice amalgam of the two? You know, I'm going to shine for the Lord. I'm going to pray that the Lord will give me a good attitude at work. I want to be chipper when I'm on the phone and talk to people. I want to have that gleam, you know. I want to make people feel good and just be the light and work hard and do my business and to be responsible and come home and do the same for my family and to live that upright life. That's great, you know. But there's also a time where we need to share our faith too. Amen. And because Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So you want to plant that seed. You want to shine the light, and people say, like, you know, like, why are you so different? And then we pray for the Holy Spirit's boldness to be able to talk about the Lord. And I think sometimes God will just give that to us. That's what I like about, I watch the news every day, and I'm just fascinated by everything and about the world and things that are going on geopolitically and as well as local sports and high school team and how they're doing, that kind of thing. And so I kind of learned this from my dad, because my dad was spent some time in sales, and so it was just natural for him anyway is to bring in all the news personally. Then he was able to share with anybody about any subject, you know, because he would know it, you know. Oh, that's really cool about he was down to the high school teams, you know, and your football team, you know, talking to a young kid or whatever. It's like, wow, this old guy knows about my high school team. And so the point is, as you learn about the world and as you share with people and engage with people, God will help you to be friendly, and then you will be able to share Christ through that friendliness. My pastor, Pastor Mark at Calvary Chapel Anaheim, he's with the Lord now, but he always said that, you know what friendship evangelism is? It's building a bridge from your heart to their heart so Jesus can walk over. And I was like, well, I love that. I love that. I don't care what it is, man. You know, for us, it's all about the Rams. They're not doing too good this year, you know, Rams football team. But, you know, I'll talk about sports. I'll talk about Trump. I'll even talk about Harris and this, that, and the other. And see, to find that way where I can share my faith through just general conversation, you know. And then God will give us wisdom on how to do that. You know, sometimes we'll just share. We're at work and we'll be just talking, you know, chit-chatting, you know, shop talk or whatever. But other times it'll be like, ooh, this is really an opportunity for Christ, I can tell. And the Lord will give it to you. And it's just like that, you want to seize those opportunities as the Lord gives them to you. It could be a little quick thing, the checker at the store, or it could be a longer relationship you have with someone like at work or your neighbors or your mailman. We're always working on our mailman, you know, and, you know, just loving him. Dave, you want some water? Man, it's like 106 degrees out here. Thank you for delivering, you know, the mail today and just getting to know him and just looking for those opportunities. All right, so Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I just want to spend the balance of our time just breaking down that verse. First of all, Jesus said, go. And, you know, as we look at the Great Commission and also Matthew 28:18-20 is another reference to the Great Commission. It is in the imperative form, and that means it's a commandment. And, you know, it's not a suggestion. You know, we're not talking about the Great Suggestion. We're talking about the Great Commission. You know, we're under this commission of the Lord to be outgoing with our faith and really praying for people to be saved and looking for every opportunity. So Jesus said, go. And again, you can go and take a mission trip or be a full-time missionary, or you can go right where you are at. And then Jesus said, go into where? Kalispell? Only? Okay. Montana. Is that it? Is there more? Okay, let's go to the United States only. You know, I'm not leaving the United States, you know. I don't even have a passport, man. I'm staying right here, you know. But what did Jesus say? Go into the world. Okay, and then what? All the world. And it just seems like every time I want to limit my ministry, I'm thinking, I've come so far anyway. I remember being with the Karen tribal people in Thailand. They have fled Burma because of the brutal military regime over there. And we're doing refugee ministry and so forth. And I just thought, you know what? It's all about the Karen. And for me at the time, it was. But I remember the Lord telling me, like after a couple mission trips, Louis, I said, all the world. I go, no, Lord, I'm just figuring out the Karen tribal people and sharing Christ with them and teaching at their bamboo hut Bible colleges over there and stuff like that. And Louis, I said, all the world. And it was like, okay, Lord, I get it. So maybe it's something we have to grow into. Like we'll go into one place and we think, oh, it's all about Mexico, or it's all about Indonesia. And the Lord says, no, it's not. It's all about the world. Now, you might have a concentration there, but always be avant-garde for the Lord. You always want to be pressing on and leaning forward. Remember the Olympics this past summer, you know? They weren't like, going like this. They were always leaning in, right? Leaning in. And I just love that. I remember, remember Arthur Blessett, who carried his cross around the world? He's in the Guinness World Book of Records, and he came out with a movie called The Cross, and I remember him being interviewed, and he says, you know, when I want to die, I want to die falling forward. So he actually did that, of course, with the cross. He's always going forward, but I thought, that's good. I always want to just go forward in the Lord. Go is about movement and pressing in. Philippians 3, right? I press in, I press on into the upward call of Christ. I forget what lies behind me, you know? And not just the bad things, praise God, under the blood. I'm a new creature in Christ. But even the good things. It's, oh, yeah, Thailand was so cool. It's like, okay, enough of Thailand. You know, now what's here? What is God doing today? You know, time moves forward whether you like it or not, right? You know, and you ever like come to a place where it's like, I can't believe how fast time goes. You look at these pictures, like you find them on your phone, and it's like, that's already been like 3 years ago, you know? I can't believe that. And so it's like, okay, let's catch up to time. Let's catch up to the Lord's will, and let's keep on in that great commission, always perpetuating forward. And it's a good thing. Always keep growing personally in Christ and then in our outreach. So go into all the world, and what do? We want to, it's all about digging wells for fresh water in Africa, right? No. You know, see, don't get me wrong. These are good things. That's probably one of the major problems in Africa is clean water. But do we go to Africa just to clean water? We go to Africa to preach the gospel. Then as we do so, we want to help the people and dig wells. We want to do other things. You know, the people that we know that are right now in Asheville or in Florida doing hurricane cleanup. That's what I love about Franklin Graham, his ministry, Samaritan's Purse. And he's always preaching the gospel, isn't he? I saw him on Instagram like yesterday or something. He's like preaching the gospel. He's interviewed major network, you know, and he's like preaching oh, we are here to help Asheville and so forth. But we're also here in the name of Jesus because he died and he rose again. And, you know, I'm like, go Franklin. This is awesome how you're doing that, brother. You know, so we go to, you know, we believe in social justice and we believe in making the world a better place, but we are here in the name of Jesus to change people's lives from the inside out. And this is how we better our world, by doing that. So we preach the gospel. We don't preach anything else. We preach the good news of Jesus Christ and to every creature. Creature. I just am thanking the Lord for every person, again, that reached out to me because I kind of look like a creature. You know, a lot of us did back in the hippie days, and it was like, wow, these young people, and these beautiful young people are dropping out, and they look so weird, and their music is so crazy, and in Woodstock, and this, that, and the other, and it's like, what? They're just, you know, degenerating, but you know what, Jesus came in and changed us, and he still wants to do that today. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about our ministry. Go Ministries is such a cool ministry. I was a pastor in Norco, California, Southern California, Riverside area. And about 4 years after, we church planted. And about 4 years after the church plant, the church was just growing just little by little. And we had a staff just happened to be, all of us had mission background, you know. My wife and I were with Youth with a Mission for a while in Western Europe, And my new assistant pastor was a missionary in England for 14 years. Our secretary, accountant, worked for a mission organization. And we did not wake up that day thinking that today we would found a Christian mission organization. But that's what happened that day. We all started just thinking about the need to support missionaries and just what we can do and so forth. And, you know, I would just say, like, within a half hour, the whole ministry went from conceptual to actually being born. And they even said, "What do we call it, Pastor Louie?" And I go, "I don't know. How about Go Ministries? Jesus said go." And so we're in our 24th year now. And, you know, Pastor Dan and Anna were one of our first missionaries to come along with us. And later on, Dan and Julie, they were up in Canada. And I think about 7 years ago, we had a chance to drive up there and visit them and their beautiful family. And, you know, we channel support from donors to the missionaries. And then we do more than that. We're missionary encouragers, so we like to go visit them, and we like to do what we can, help them with any visa issues, and pray with them, and we always respond to their newsletters, and so forth. So this thing has been really amazing to see what God has done. And then my wife had a brain tumor. And so now I'm like, "Lord, I can't keep up the church anymore," because it was really bad. Her pain and it didn't go really well. Her surgery, so she's not showing up anymore. There's an empty pastor's wife's chair, and I'm rushing home after service to take care of her, and so forth and so on. So after about 3 years of that, I just felt like, said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore," you know. And I thought I would just be a senior pastor forever. We were in our 21st year of this church. And I was on the freeway, the 91 freeway. Anybody been on the 91 freeway? Infamous, right? A lot of time to pray. You need to pray anyway on that freeway. But you're stuck in traffic, giant parking lot, so you just tend to pray a lot, you know. What else can you do? Pray, you know. And God said, I want you to leave and take Go Ministries and go full-time with the mission ministry. And so that's what we did. Church is still going on, but we've been full-time with the ministry. And that was like a new step of faith for us. And then we became one of the Go missionaries as well because, you know, we had to have our own support and everything. So it's just been a wild ride, and the devil lost on that one. My wife has some hidden disabilities that she grapples with each and every day. But, you know, brothers and sisters, we keep going on with the Lord. Amen? And Jesus is coming back soon, and it's all about Him. It's all about, you know, reaching forward. It's all about sharing the gospel. And God wants others. God wants to fill this place even more. You guys, we were here 7 years ago, and things were really different back then. What God has done, you know, it's really an amazing thing, and He wants to keep on working in you, in your family, in this church. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for this time to be challenged by Your word and the great commission of Jesus Christ that You gave not only to Your disciples, but to disciples of all time. And here we are today. Lord, we just ask You to lead and guide us our lives, Lord. Show us Your way, Lord. Teach us Your paths. Lead us in Your truth and teach us, for You are the God of our salvation. On You we wait all the day, Lord. We just want to enjoy our salvation, but we also want to give it out too, Lord. And that we know that the more we give it out, the more we are going to just be so, so blessed. So show us, Lord, what you have for us, Lord, as we take care of the grow in our life and also the go. And Lord, we pray that you would open up new doors and vistas, Lord, for each and every one of us, as well as for this church, Lord God, that you would do great things, Lord God, that we would just be happy where we're at, but also know that you have so much more, and that we would keep leaning forward, Lord, into the glories that you have for us, because you're coming back soon. We see the signs of the times, and we are not depressed. In fact, we are very excited, Lord, that you are coming, and we understand your word, and whatever happens, Lord, in November, we know, Lord, that you are in charge. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to live with the anxiety of uncertainty. Thank you that Christ is our firm foundation. And Lord, that we have such a wonderful future ahead of us. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.